flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here on Sports Talk, helping us break down the big game. Going to get the Kansas City perspective. Todd Lebo, VP of Sports Operations at Sports Radio 810 WHB in KC, joins us now. Todd, thanks so much for the time. How you been enjoying the city, man?
Oh, I've enjoyed it a lot. I've left the convention center, though, so I'm done. I've done my radio row. I'm glad you guys are still there, but I spent many hours in there. Had a great time with it, but now, unfortunately, give you a little New Orleans insight here. You guys can help me a little bit. When we booked some hotels early on, I was actually at the Eagles Hotel in the Hilton, right down there by the convention center. It was great, right? And then, you know, the rates went up. We booked it, you know, not through the league. And now I'm in a media overflow hotel. I don't know about this one. I hope I'm alive. It's a Ramada out here, and it's interesting. It's
where are you? Are you in New Orleans or are you out in the suburbs?
It's Metairie.
Fine at Metairie.
You'll be fine.
It's fine.
Well, I'm rooting for you.
Go to Drago's. You're close to Drago's. Yeah. You can go to Drago's and tell Tommy to take care of it.
It's a media overflow. It's through the league, right? So it's fine. And there are, I must have seen 20 guys. I just got here about an hour ago. 20 guys who are working security, like tactical gear guys. They're staying here, so I'm good, right?
There you go.
So I've been telling people the convention center, and you could probably attest to this. It's kind of like you go to a casino, and they don't have any windows or clocks, and you kind of lose track of, like, what time of day it is, and suddenly you look up, and you're like, I've been here for 10 hours. What's going on? Yeah. Have you kind of had that experience?
Dark when I got there, dark when I left.
Right.
For sure. Got a lot of steps in, though, a lot of steps. Big convention center. Walked the whole thing a bunch of times.
Yep.
It's great.
No question. Yeah, you can walk off all the beer that is necessary to consume. Todd, so, you know, Super Bowls have become kind of just an expected occurrence for the Chiefs over the last 3 years. It's like, hey, okay, we have the full run. It's week one. We are not going to be done for a long, long, long time. Is it difficult? Does it become kind of expected? Is it, if you lose in the AFC Championship with Pat Mahomes, it's like, what a failure. Right? Has that been difficult for the Chiefs to battle against in terms of complacency? I feel like those Patriots teams, it kind of became expected after a while. I'm just curious how that's kind of resonated within the Chiefs fan base.
How about this? The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have lost two AFC Championship games at home in this run, which is like, that's disappointing and gross, right? You had two AFC Championship games at home and you lost them. Now they won a bunch of others and made it to the Super Bowl, but they have had some little disappointments, I guess, in the playoffs. What we've told everybody, and it's hard to do, we went through this. There's a lot of Kansas Jayhawks basketball fans around us, obviously, and they won like 13 straight Big 12 championships. But then, you know, for them, it was like, do you make the Final Four? Do you win it? You have to enjoy the ride. You have to enjoy, even though I don't like Kansas, going to Allen Fieldhouse and winning games and doing that. You have to enjoy watching Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones and these guys play against, you know, fill in the blank. The Saints came to Arrowhead this year, right? And played on Monday Night Football. You have to enjoy those things. So fans do get a little complacent and just say, get me to January and February. I don't get the feeling the players are really that way. You know, Travis Kelce made a kind of a joke about it a few weeks ago back in Kansas City. He's a veteran guy. He was kind of like, hey, let's get there and turn this thing up. But the younger players, I don't think they're there yet. And it's really a lot about the culture that Andy Reid has built, that they take it one game at a time. And it's so boring and so cliche, but his system works and he's got his best players bought into it. So they really do grind the season out and don't look forward enough the way fans certainly do, or the way we have to do, to plan out, all right, are you going to buy this here to airline tickets and da 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 and all that stuff. They don't have to worry about that logistical stuff. But yeah, there's a bunch of spoiled fans who are way younger than me who think this is just what it is. And it ain't just what it is. I promise you that.
We've been there. Yeah, yeah, we dealt with that. 13 and 3, they're like, can we just get to the postseason?
Yeah.
So I guess, and that was kind of where I was heading, because I don't understand. I take it back. I do understand why people don't want Kansas City. Whatever. I don't forget the Super Bowls. And Steve and Jeff have heard me say this. Celebrate the fact that this team has made it to 7 straight AFC Championship games. Prior to Mahomes arriving in 2017, Kansas City had made 3 in their entire existence. Now they've made 7 straight. So I just feel like that is something amazing. New England made 8 straight. The Saints have only had 3 championship game appearances. My point is, it's hard. Do they lean into it? Like, they know they're kind of the villains. I don't know why they are, but they are. And so are they leaning into it, or how are they looking at it?
Oh, they like to be the bad guy, I think. But it's pretty funny. They're very good at saying the right things at the podiums, right? Patrick Mahomes is brilliant at it, okay? And he admits it. He's been on podcasts where he says, well, I'll talk for 28 seconds. I won't say anything. He's good at it, right? So, but you'll see, like, last year, the big knock was, well, the Chiefs have never won a playoff game on the road because they had all the home games. And then last year, there was some locker room video of him, you know, after they'd won in Baltimore, saying they wanted it. They wanted us on the road. They got it. You know what I mean? So they are driven by it for sure, but they won't sit there and say it on the podium. And we've asked the villain question, you know, 10 ways to every player in the last, like, probably month or so, when it's really kind of been that, like, you know, overload on people don't like the Chiefs. And they're all pretty good at not saying it. I promise you, in their little meetings, they're talking about it. You know, they're like, You think they don't like us? Let's go win it and shove it in their face. So they get motivated by those things, but they're pretty good. Andy Reid, he doesn't let these guys get loose and talk too much and say too many silly things. You know, I mean, Travis Kelce may say some things on his podcast that he certainly wouldn't say in front of a podium or something, but they got a pretty tight rein on these guys. You have to earn that trust from him to be able to say that stuff Travis says on a podcast.
I look at the Saints game as somewhat of a microcosm, at least for Kansas City, maybe for the Saints too, but I'm thinking more about Kansas City. So it's Monday night, week 5, and fourth quarter, Saints score, Foster Moreau, and extra point makes it 16-14. I mean, it is a football game, right? If you just look at the final, you go, 26-13, you know, Kansas City, you know, wins by 13. But it just feels like there were so many games like that for Kansas City. I mean, they missed the extra pointer. If not, that's 16-14, fourth quarter. Could go a lot of different ways. They've always seemed to find a way, but there were a lot of teams like the Saints that were right there, didn't end up doing it, and it just feels like for Kansas City, that was kind of a microcosm for them.
It really was, and, you know, it wasn't like, you know, a lot of times you know, the defense will pull something out of the hat, or the offense has to come make a play or do something. This team, it was everybody. You know, we all remember the blocked field goal to beat the Broncos, you know, and that wasn't some lucky thing. They worked on that. But if you have a blocked field goal to win a game, and then you have a lucky thing like when the Raiders snapped the ball off Aiden O'Connell's chest because he wasn't paying attention, that's a lucky thing. And then you might have, you know, Mahomes goes down and scores a touchdown in overtime against the Bucks when they won the coin toss. And you're like, well, that's how that goes. Same thing. They played a game against Carolina where, you know, they were kind of sleepwalking in Carolina, had about 3 or 4 weeks where they were pretty good, right? Where they were playing people tough. You guys saw that. And they looked like a team that's on the rise. And they had to go down there and make a drive late to win the game. One of the most amazing things about this team, it'll get talked about sometime in the 85-hour pregame show on Fox on Sunday, but they have had 3 kickers kick game-winning kicks for this team this year. That's insane. They're pulling people off the street. And, oh, by the way, you have to go make this kick, and you've never done this in the NFL, and you have to do that. You get Harrison Butker making kicks to win games, but they had three different people do it. So, yeah, they're definitely dipped in it. And how long will this run go? They only care this year if it goes one more game, right? Because if you've done all this work and they don't win, they're going to be devastated. Now, my thought is, how can you be devastated if you won the last two Super Bowls? You know what I mean? But when you make the journey this far, you want to finish it. You don't want to get and do all this work and have everybody hate you and go through all the injuries and do all the stuff and blah, 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 and then fail at the end. So that'll be the drama we have on Sunday.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With this Chiefs team, it just seems no matter what you do, they're always able to one-up another team. But if you looked at it and had to break things down, either offensive or defensively, what would you say is maybe a weakness of Kansas City?
Well, they've had some spots this year where they've given up yards late and scores late. I mentioned that the Carolina game. They wouldn't have had to go down and kick a field goal if they would have stopped Carolina, you know, and gotten the ball back in the fourth quarter. So, listen, Philadelphia is ultra-talented, and the Chiefs have not done a good job this year at tight end, defending tight ends, lots of big numbers from tight ends. So that's an area where a lot of people think Philadelphia can move the ball. They generally do it with their wide receivers and obviously Saquon Barkley. But that's a vulnerability for sure. What they've had to do at left tackle on the other side of the ball, you know, with Joe Tooney moving out and playing, and he's playing fine. You know, he's not great, but he's playing fine. You know, when they lost the Super Bowl to Tampa, they had all kinds of offensive line issues and they had a bunch of guys hurt. And Patrick Mahomes spent the whole day running for his life and because Tampa had a great front and, you know, they lost that game badly. So if Tooney can't do the job against a very good front, then that could be an issue for them there. So those are the things. But listen, that Tampa game, he threw some of the best passes you ever saw in your life. They also got dropped. So Mahomes will rise to the occasion, I think. But this will not be easy because the big difference between this game and the game 2 years ago, Saquon Barkley was not on the Eagles. And he is a game wrecker and a home run hitter. And one of the keys I have for the game is just don't let him have one of those. You know, get your yards here. If it's the 20-yard game, that's fine. But the 60 and 70-yarders will kill you.
You know, Todd, I hate to even kind of dignify this with the conversation, but it's become so loud that you have to have the conversation, you know, and it comes down to the officiating. And there's this idea that the Chiefs are getting a favorable whistle and whatever, the statistics are the statistics and you know, the fourth down, the quarterback sneak. And I think it's lazy analysis to look at this team and be like, oh, yeah, they're getting all the calls. What is your response to that? Because it's becoming louder and louder and louder, and there's always been this call for like, oh, well, we need to fix the officiating. Now that there's gambling involved, it's got a whole other subplot, another level to it. I'm just curious what your reaction to that conversation is.
Yeah, it's pretty silly because it seems with this many crews, right? There was an actual NBA officiating issue with one guy who was gambling on his own. And, you know, there's only a few officials in an NBA game. It's a smaller field. You can you can do things with it. So I could see something like that happening there. But, you know, the NFL officials put out a statement today, you know, they have 17 games and 138 crews, blah, blah, blah. How could they all be somehow in this matrix of lies to have something happen for this team? It is pretty laughable. I think what happens is the Chiefs are on TV in the big games all the time. So we see the games more. They're the big games. Was that Josh Allen sneak close? Yeah, I think it was close, but I was in the press box. We had a pretty good, we were right on the line of it. And I watched the game, the snap, at least through binoculars. And I thought they stopped him, you know, but the part of the point is, listen, you only got to go 6 inches, get a foot. I mean, if he got 8 inches, then all right, maybe he got a first down. But the hardest part, I think one of the, and they're going to try to fix this. I don't know if you can fix it with a chip in the ball or whatever, but if you're going to run the sneak, you are putting yourself at risk to get a bad spot. They don't make bad spots on the sideline when no one's around. They can easily replay that and see it. But if you're going to have, you know, there's 22 guys in the field, but let's say 18 or 19 of them are right there within 5 feet of each other one way to the other and 25 feet the other way, it's nearly impossible for the officials to see that from where they're standing. So if you don't want to run the risk of that, run a different play, you know. But I don't think there's any conspiracy to help the Chiefs win, because why would you want to help this little town in the middle of America win? There should be conspiracies for the Chargers to win.
Help us. We're a little town in the South.
Yes. Help these poor little people down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, it
don't
is
give us
silly.
Bill Vinovich. Sorry. I'm not quite over 2018 yet. Sorry.
I'm not either, because I was watching that game at Arrowhead waiting for the Patriots and Chiefs to play, and I was going to be so excited to have the Saints and the Chiefs play in the Super Bowl. It was going to be great, and then they both lost. So yep. There you go.
Question for you about one of the former players that's now became a New Orleans Saint this year, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Just curious, what happened to him over there? Because he seemed to start out his career with a lot of promise, and it just didn't work out in the end, and now he's moved on here, hoping that maybe some home cooking helps reinvigorate his career.
Yeah, I love Clyde. I thought he was a great teammate, and you know, he talked openly about his PTSD from the incident, where the shooting in Baton Rouge when he was in college. And, you know, I can't put myself in his shoes and know how that was going to affect me. He's a young man, right? And he had some real mental issues about that. And it's interesting because a lot of these guys don't talk about that stuff. And he was very open about it. He talked about it for, gosh, 10, 15 minutes at training camp this year. And I think they really liked him, because this can be a cruel business. They could have just cut him and say, we don't want you around. But I think they knew he was struggling a little bit. And I think they felt that the best thing for him was to be in the Chiefs locker room. But I also think they loved him, because I'll tell you a story. Isaiah Pacheco was, you know, kind of took Clyde's job last year. And or 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, he was a rookie. And Clyde was, they're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it was before the half. This wasn't the playoff game where they played him. It was before the half. And Pacheco fumbles, and Clyde wasn't dressed that day. The first person to meet him on the sideline was Clyde, looked him right in the eye. And so I asked Pacheco about that later, and he's just like, yeah, he's just telling me to keep believing myself and all that. And what kind of guy who lost his job to a seventh round rookie is going to be out there telling him to keep his head up? So that's what they liked about him. And I think that's why he stuck around. I hope he's mentally in the right place, and maybe coming back home will be good for him, and he'll get a chance to be successful, because there were high hopes for him when he got drafted. Thought he was going to be a little gadget, right, for Andy Reid to play with. And I hope he has more in his career, because I do think he's a really good-hearted kid.
Todd, definitely appreciate your time. Hope you enjoy the rest of the time in the city and enjoy the game, obviously, Sunday.
Hopefully it'll be a win, because although I don't root, I don't like to go into losing locker rooms. So
I hear you.
I'm hearing you,
baby.
I root
for fun, you know. I root for fun, and I root for our listeners in Kansas City to be happy.
Great stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
All right, let me know anytime.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd Lebo, VP of Sports Operations at Sports Radio 810 WHB in KC, joining us on the virtual Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat.